We're going to be looking at a passage in Mark 4. Hope you've been blessed so far. Good, good. I'm glad you've been blessed by this. This next session, I want to touch on a bit of combination of the two. So the first session, we spoke about the right foundations, dwelling in the secret place, and intimacy with God being the foundation of a prayer life. And then next session, we talk about the spiritual realm and just the significance of that and just a bit of an understanding of how that interacts, how that interacts with the physical realm and what happens when we pray. In this session, I want to touch on spiritual authority and warfare, a combination of some of the things we've learned in the first and the second session. Oftentimes, you have believers that end up on both sides of a spectrum. And one side of the spectrum is, you know, just loving on God, intimacy with God, worship, and that's what they do, and they don't really engage in any kind of spiritual warfare. I would explain more about what spiritual warfare is in a moment. But all they do is intimacy with God, worship, and they don't really engage in any kind of warfare. And then sometimes you have believers on the other side of the spectrum that all they do is just fight the devil and all that, but they don't know how to engage in intimacy warfare. Intimacy waiting on God and still and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of meet different people on both sides oftentimes, but I actually think we're called to both, because I think David is a picture of this. David could write Psalm 27:4. One thing I desire of the Lord, I'll seek with all my heart to dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days. You know the scripture, all the days of my life, to behold his beauty and to seek him in his holy temple. So David was a man of one thing, and that was intimacy with God. He was a man of worship. But even though he was a man of intimacy with God, he also knew how to cut the head off of giants. So he knew how to warfare, but he knew how to go to a place of intimacy with God. And I do believe we have to be able to engage in both realities, because we are both the bride of Christ and we're sons of God. Men are the bride of Christ, women are sons of God. I think it's a concept that talks about our relationship with the Father. So as the sons of God, we have access to our inheritance and the authority. We can walk in the authority of God as sons of God to release his purposes on the earth. As the bride of Christ, we have access to his heart. As the sons of God, we have access to his power. And both need to be connected. In Ephesians 6, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Those are those two dimensions there again. Be strong in the Lord, I believe, talks about being strong in intimacy with God. We touched on that this morning. And in the power of his might, being able to stand in the place of authority. If we are not rooted in intimacy, we will not be able to exercise authority. And if we are, let me say the other way around. If we are not, to be able to exercise effective authority, we have to be rooted in intimacy. And to remain in intimacy, we have to be able to exercise authority. Did you get that? To remain in intimacy, we have to exercise authority. To exercise authority, we have to be rooted in intimacy. Both are kind of very much connected. And this session, I want to touch on the part about being a person who's walking in authority. We had a prayer meeting last night, so we've been doing something called Nazarite School of Prayer. It runs for about 10 weeks, and on Friday nights, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., so we had one last night, and so one of the things that came out was just about the cultural bondage of silence that's often on a lot of people in the British church. See, I come from a culture where people are quite expressive, and they might be loud, and all that kind of stuff. So I come into a British context, and we're in a prayer meeting, and say the leader says, "Let's pray." You know what happens? Silence. I'm like, let's pray. Okay, you remember when the Lord says, the disciples said, teach us to pray. He says, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Obviously, it's not just repeating the words. It's more the principles in there, actually, I believe. A bit of a tangent. Think about it. Jesus spent all night praying. That's about 8 hours, maybe. Okay, praying through the night. Okay, the disciples ask him, teach us to pray. And then he tells them this kind of prayer. You can pray that prayer in about 30 seconds. Okay, so what was Jesus praying on the mountain? for 8 hours. Was he praying the Lord's Prayer on repeat? He obviously wasn't. So there's some things in that prayer. It's more than just repeating the prayer. There's some principles in there he's actually trying to teach us. Okay, how did I get onto that? Someone remind me where I was. Oh yeah, silence. So we're talking about just the culture of bondage of silence on the church, and how oftentimes we come into a meeting like at prayer, say, let's pray, and we just go silence. But when Jesus told his disciples to pray, he says, when you pray, say. Everyone say, say. He didn't say when you pray, think. When you pray, say. Okay, he didn't say meditate. Now, nothing wrong with thinking prayers, and nothing wrong with meditating prayers. There is a place for that. And I'm not diminishing that at all. I spend quiet time, oftentimes, in silence. I know I can be loud when I'm leading prayer publicly, but oftentimes, I am at home and I have my quiet time. And that's why it's called a quiet time. Because I'm waiting on God and entering into a place of his presence. And yes, there's sometimes I might be loud or praying in tongues or whatever, worshiping, but it's a quiet time. But when we come together like this, it's not a corporate quiet time. Are you hearing me? Read the prayers in the Bible. Okay, let's go back to basics. Acts, when the church got together to pray, in the book of Acts, you read that they were in the upper room and they prayed and Holy Spirit came. Okay, we don't really get much insight into what that prayer meeting looked like. However, if you read further on, I think Acts 5, we get a clear insight into what prayer meetings look like in the early church. You see how they prayed. Peter and his, whoever it was, the disciples, they'd been just, you know, reprimanded by the authorities not to speak in the name of Jesus. So they went to the rest of the disciples, they told them what happened. And it says, when they all got together, it says, they lifted their voices. It didn't say they sat in silence and meditated on the threat of the leaders. They lifted their voices. So lifting our voices is not a Nigerian thing. It's not a Korean thing. It's not some other nation thing. It's a kingdom thing. But there's a cultural bondage of silence. And a lot of, I'm married to a white person so I can say this. On a lot of our white British people, so they just keep silent in church. But at the football field, oh, oh, you hear them just going crazy. But in church, frozen chicken in church. But on the football field, ah! Why should the football team have more of your passion than the God who created you? Because if you could go crazy on the football team, it tells me you have that crazy in you for God. So when I see you and you're like this in church, I'm looking at you. That's not the real you. Because God wants your personality to be expressed through your spirituality. He doesn't want your spirituality to be some ideology over here of something that's not real and almost like a fake self you're putting on, this religious look. He wants you to be you. Look at the Bible. Elijah had a different type of prayer life to Moses. Moses prayed differently to Abraham. Abraham looked different and had a different type of relationship with God to Ezekiel. They were all prophets of God, but they were all authentic to their own identities. When I think of Elijah, I think of a man of fire, intense, like I'm intense, right? Elijah was intense. As when I think of Abraham, he's almost like having a bargain with God. Give me 20, give me 30, give me... Are you hearing me? He's like in this place, but that is, it's functioning from his authenticity of his personality type, manifesting in his spirituality, in his prayer life. So the idea is not that you have to look like me. You just have to be real. If you're my brother, my actually blood brother, he's the complete opposite of me. So when he's happy, when he's sad, when he's mad, when he's glad, same face. And also same tone. That is not me. And I guarantee that's not most people in this room. When you're happy, there's probably a bit of a volume increase. When you're mad, I think some people probably know you're mad around you. Are you hearing me? But how is it that in prayer, somehow you just have a monotone? There is no dynamic. There is no, it's just, oh yeah, this is my spiritual prayer voice. Heavenly Father, we love thee. We honor thee. And then he put on some King James English. Thus says the Lord. Well, God doesn't speak English. I hope you realize that. And it's not like we have to be more spiritual. To be more spiritual, we have to speak the King James English. I don't really think that. God does not speak the language we think he speaks. Obviously, he speaks English, he understands English, but he's beyond just the language. He's actually after the language of the heart. If the prayer is not moving you, why should heaven be moved? If you're just there, just, oh yeah, Pastor said we should pray. Okay, dear God, save the Prime Minister. Amen. And that's the end of it. You're not even bothered about it. Why should God take you seriously when you're very casual about the prayer? A casual approach to prayer is producing casualties. Because you're, oh yeah, yeah, Lord, whatever. And you don't realize lives depend on your prayer. Only when we get to heaven are we going to see the fruits, the real fruits of our prayers. And I'm telling you, some of the people that are going to get some of the biggest credits are not often the preachers. Because it might be some woman over there that no one knows her name, faithfully praying in the closet, praying for Billy Graham, praying for some other evangelist out there, interceding, fasting. No one knows their name. But when we get to heaven, we realize they were the true heroes. You want to be a VIP in heaven, a voice of intercession and prayer? Well, you better give yourself right now to the things that really matter. Because it often doesn't matter in man's eyes, but it matters in heaven's eyes. And God is after us embodying the reality of who he's made us to be. So sometimes you start to pray and God is looking at you like, John, that's not you. That's not the John I create. John, you're sounding like the minister over there. You're not sounding like you. You're putting on the tone. John, why are you putting on this fake voice? Why are you, John, just be real. Are you hearing me? He's after the real you. So listen, I'm going to do me. You better do you. Because when I am doing me, I'm confident who in the way God's designed me to be. Actually, the anointing on your life flows when you are being you, who God created you to be. Not when you're trying to be someone else. And when you're being you and I'm being me, then I am confident in my identity in God. So are you. So I am able to appreciate the difference that you are. Because I realize I am not going to be you and you're not going to be me. So I can celebrate that difference and not be intimidated by it. The only reason why I'm being intimidated by you looking different or praying different to me is because I've not realized who I am. My intimidation of you is a revelation that I actually have a lack of revelation of my own identity. But when I have a revelation of my identity and I accept that, then I can celebrate diversity and there can be real unity. Are you hearing me? So God is calling us to become the real us. So let's break this ideology that when we come together to pray, we just keep quiet. There is a place for stillness, but I'm telling you, New Testament prayer I see, they lifted the sound before the Lord, each of them. Now we're going to come to this passage now in Mark 4. I'm going to summarize bits of it. In fact, I'm going to read it. Not the whole thing, but just a bit of it. Okay. Mark 4:35, on the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitudes, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. A great windstorm arose, and a wave beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? But he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Now, this is a well-known passage about Jesus calming the storm. We just sang it, actually. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. There are all kinds of storms we go through in life. However, there's something about this storm that I believe is a picture of spiritual warfare that many of us are going through. And I want to just break this down. And I believe it's going to be a blessing to many of you. So here is Jesus speaking to his disciples, says to them, we've got to get over to the other side. There's a whole lot of revelation in that I'm not going to go into. Because they were crossing over from one dimension in their relationship with God to another dimension in their relationship relationship with God. Every time there was a crossover in the scriptures, something shifted in people. When they crossed over the Red Sea, on one side they were slaves, on the other side they were free. When they crossed over the Jordan, on one side manna fell from heaven, on the other side the land was producing for them. When Jesus died on the cross, that was a crossover too. It was a whole dimension. Are you hearing me? So when he says, let's cross over, he's actually speaking prophetically to you. Enough of you going around the same mountain. It's time to move to another dimension in your relationship with God. So now he says, let's cross over. They listen to that word and they're about to obey that. In fact, they're obeying that word. They get in the boat and they're doing exactly what God told them to do. As they are obeying God, here comes the storm. For many Christians, they think the storm is a sign that God is not with them or a sign that they're out of the will of God. In this case, the disciples were in the perfect will of God and going through the perfect storm of their life. So you can be in the will of God and going through a storm. The fact that you're going through a storm does not mean you're out of the will of God, because there are different types of storms. There's some storms that come as a result of your disobedience. Hello, Jonah. God told you to go this way, you went that way, and here comes a storm. Well, that's why the storm came, because you disobeyed God. But here is another picture of a storm. God says go this way, and you go that way, and the storm comes. So all you need to do is know that because you were in obedience when you stepped into that storm, in you is already the key. The key is already in you to handle the storm, to deal with the storm. He wouldn't have sent you in that direction if he did not equip you to deal with the storm you were going to face in obeying him. So I've got news for you. It may feel like you're drowning, but you're not going to drown. Especially when the Lord sent you and the storm is coming as an opposition to what the Lord is calling you to do. So here, you have a storm that I believe is a demonic storm. The reason the storm is demonic, several reasons. First, some accounts of this particular incident says immediately there was a storm. So this came out of nowhere. Just suddenly, it was like, boom, there was just this thing going on. That's a sign to something supernatural going on, because also the disciples should have been able to read the weather before they set out. As fishermen, experienced fishermen who had businesses fishing, they should have been able to read the weather that storm is coming. So this storm came out of nowhere. I don't know if you heard of some crazy things, especially in Nigeria, Africa, where some evangelist put on a crusade and he's right there preaching the gospel and some witch doctor comes out and starts doing his incantation and here comes a storm and boom, the tent is gone and boom, there's rain. Are you hearing me? Because witchcraft, because it's something that engages laws of the spirit, can also manipulate the physical elements. Are you hearing me? You see, we're going to be aware that the enemy has powers. Jesus said in Luke, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and all the powers of the enemy. By Jesus saying that, he is declaring to people, look, the enemy has power, but I'm giving you authority. He may have power, but I'm giving you authority. Because he may have the power, but he doesn't have the legal right. Because I've given you that legal right. Are you hearing me? So you have the authority to limit his function, to prohibit, to push him back, to resist. Are you hearing me? A policeman does not have the physical power to stand on the road and lift up a truck and get it off the street. But when he stands there and he does that, that truck has to stop because he has the authority. Are you hearing me? So the enemy is under our feet because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So we're not fighting from a place of defeat. We have already won. However, that victory needs to be enforced. Some of you, you know this theologically, but it's not become an experience. The law has been passed in parliament. The fact that the law is passed in parliament does not mean that law is obeyed everywhere in the country. So what do you have? Law enforcers. The job of the law enforcer is to take the law that's been passed and make sure that law is obeyed. And where it's been disobeyed, they kind of bring the consequences of the disobedience. Welcome to the ministry of intercession and prayer. As a prayer warrior and as a woman of God, as a man of God, as someone who's praying, you are a spiritual law enforcer. You take the victory of the cross and you apply it to your family. You take the victory of the cross and you apply it to your family, you apply it to your body, you apply it to specific situations, because if you don't do that,
The enemy keeps gaining ground, and he keeps exercising his illegal sense of influence, authority that actually has already been given to you.
The more we exercise authority, the more we're able to push the enemy back and gain the territories that God has already given us. You got to even remember that when the children of Israel were given the promised land, God left enemies in the promised land for the children of Israel to fight. So God did not just give them the promised land like that, no enemies there, everything kind of cool and everything kind of perfect. He left some demons there for them to slay and kick out. And that is a picture of how God deals with many of the things we deal with. Sometimes God allows us into situations. It is our inheritance. And God has called us to influence, like this church, God has called you to influence this region. But there's spiritual giants, so to speak, that are here that you would have to deal with. And the only way you have to deal with that, you're going to deal with them, is spiritual warfare. Okay, now spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is kind of like natural warfare. They're weapons. The way we fight battles like now in the 21st century is quite different to the way the Second World War was fought, because there's new technology, there's new equipment, and there's all these things going on. And remember what Paul says. He says, we are not ignorant of the devices. It didn't say the device. So there are several devices. Are you aware of the devices designed against you? Have you actually considered the devices that the enemy designs against the purposes of God in this church, or in the church in this region, or in your family? Have you considered it? And are you aware of it? Because many people try to just put a blind eye. Okay, no, you know, I am victorious in Jesus. Jesus has won the victory on the cross, so we're not meant to do any fighting. We just rest. Have you heard that theology? We just rest in the victory of the cross, and right now we don't do any fighting because we've already won the victory. Anyone heard that before? Well, that is not complete truth. Because after Jesus said it is finished, Paul comes and writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and says, we wrestle. How is it that Jesus said it's finished and Paul over here says we wrestle? Because it's not the kind of finished we think. Some people think it's finished, so we just sit down and chill out and do nothing. No, no, no. Even after Jesus was resurrected, Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know the scriptures? So he's saying we are in a battle still, enforcing the victory that has already been given to us on the cross. But we have to do something. If we just sit there and do nothing, we're going to be overrun by darkness and all kinds of filth is going to keep happening. We have to enforce the victory of the cross. Now, back to the story. The disciples were facing a demonic storm, not just because the storm came out of nowhere or because, you know, they should have read the weather, you know. And also, listen, they were scared for their life. They felt like they were going to die. That's another indicator. But even not just all of that. Another indicator is the fact that when you read the whole passage, and you read into the next chapter, you see that there was a guy on the other side of the storm. And do you know what he calls himself? Legion. Have you looked up what legion means in the Greek? It means 3,000 foot soldiers. And, that's plus, 3,000 horsemen. How can one guy be possessed by about 6,000 demons? That baffles my mind. But that is a picture of the size of the human spirit. Because there's a passage in Proverbs. I can give you the reference later. I can't remember right now. But in Proverbs, where it compares the spirit of the man, of a man, to the size of a city. And so, even if we're just taking that one passage, maybe it gives a bit of indication. So how much can actually be, maybe it gives an indication to the capacity of the spirit. Because it doesn't quite compute in the natural mind. In the natural, 1 + 1 = 2. In the spirit, 1 + 1 does not necessarily equals 2. It depends on what that one is. You have to define that one. Are you hearing me today? It doesn't just work mathematically the same way. It's like a different kind of, the different laws and dynamics that apply to certain things in the spirit. And our natural minds will struggle sometimes to understand these realities. but they're very real. So the guy on the other side of the storm is called Legion, possessed by about 6,000 demons. Those demons have or had what we call territorial authority or territorial influence. So this guy is pretty much a conduit through which those demonic spirits are able to exercise a great deal of influence over that region. Now, you can't tell me that those demons did not pick up that Jesus was coming, because there's such a thing as demonic intelligence. That's why the psychics can give you accurate words. Have you ever thought about that? How are the psychics able to give people words about their family and this? They're actually quite accurate because they're functioning through another source. Listen, they're accessing the realm of the spirit, but the wrong way. But it's still spiritual information being released to them. That's how in Acts, I forgot the passage now, where the lady with the python spirit, the spirit of divination, she was able to say to Paul and Silas, these are servants of the Most High. She was accurate, but functioning in the wrong source of the spirit. So actually, it's not just about prophecy being accurate. It's actually about the source of the prophecy, the spirit. And in these last days, especially when in the church we're contending for more miracles, more signs, more wonders, we've got to be careful because the enemy can also produce miracles, signs, and wonders. The Bible talks very clearly about that. So if all we're after is miracles, signs, and wonders, we can also get deceived by miracles, signs, and wonders that are performed by the devil. He can make the lame to walk too. He can do some miraculous signs in the natural. That'll get you going, wow. He can give you accurate prophetic words. And, you know, the prophetic gift is one of the main gifts that's emphasized in the last days when the Lord will pour out his spirit in all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. However, we've got to be careful about prophetic gifts that point the attention to the individual. Are you hearing me? Because there's even on YouTube, there's all kinds of crazy, everyone knows what I'm talking about. It's all about, you know, oh yeah, I see your phone number or whatever, and I prophesy your bank account, and yesterday you wore a red shirt in your bedroom, bed sheet. So what does that do to me? And everyone is going, yay, everyone's shouting. Well, who is that glory? Is that glorifying God? Is that doing any? Are you hearing me? The fact that I've just given you information that go from a spiritual source does not really mean much. But oftentimes people are so impressed by that and they get just swept under that wave of deception and something else starts to happen. I'm saying don't get deceived by just gifts of the Spirit, in quotes. Ask the Lord, Lord, is this a good source? Is this from the right place, Father? Not in a judgmental place where you're looking around and saying, "Oh yeah, that's a this," and just the spirit of discernment is not the spirit of suspicion. Are you hearing me? Because there's a place of real humility and openness where you're genuinely saying, "Lord, I don't want to be deceived. So, Lord, help me to discern if this is of you or if this is not." I think there's a good place to do things like that. We just have to be careful. Now, this guy was functioning under this spirit that I believe had territorial influence. One of the reasons why I believe that is when Jesus got to the other side, you notice the demon said to him, he said, please, don't cast us out of the region. They said, Jesus was going to cast them out of the boy. They said, well, cast us into the pigs. But we don't want to go out of the region. Listen, Jesus cast the demons out of the boy, and the demons went in the pigs, and the pigs drowned and died. Listen, the fact that the pigs died did not mean the demons ceased to exist in that region. Because what happens after that? The people of the region come, and they said to Jesus, get out of our region. How is it that revival can show up and you are like, we don't want you? It's because you're functioning by another spirit, the spirit of the Antichrist. Some people are praying for revival. Revival shows up and like, no, we don't want it. Are you hearing me? Because revival is not always going to look the way you think it's going to look. Revival is God's arrival. Jesus shows up, that is revival for that territory. But they resisted it. Because they were functioning under a spirit. And that spirit was very comfortable in that region because it found expression in the people of the region. First through the boy, then the pigs. Now the people manifesting the same spirit resisting Jesus to leave the region. Are you hearing me today? So the spirit picked up Jesus' coming, stirs up this demonic storm. And the storm is made up of two things. The wind and the waves. Everyone say the wind and the waves. Okay, two key things. So Jesus is asleep in the boat. The disciples are not asleep. They're kind of moving the boat, and the storm comes, and they are scared. They're dying while Jesus is just sound asleep. Now, they're scared they're dying because the wind is so intense and the sea, the water, is getting into the boat and the boat is beginning to drown. I mean, it's beginning to sink, rather. So they can't see the wind, but they can feel its impact and see that the sea is getting in. So what you have here is two things. The wind is a picture of the unseen. The sea is a picture of the seen. Something in the unseen is causing a manifestation in the seen that's now causing their boat to drown. I mean, to sink. Are you hearing me? So that right there is the dynamic of spiritual warfare. The unseen realm manipulating the seen realm in a way that makes you feel like your life is just drowning. You're facing resistance from the realm of the spirit. What the disciples do, they woke Jesus up, which is what many of you need to do. I said this earlier on. We come to prayer meetings, we say, let's pray, and everyone keeps quiet. Well, the disciples woke Jesus up. Who's Jesus? The Word. So they have the Word in their boat. And the Word in their boat is asleep. Is that like some of you here today? You have the Word in your boat, and the Word in your boat is asleep because the gateway to activate the Word is shut. The pastor says, let's pray. Quiet. Let's lift our voices. Quiet. Everything. So the enemy is bombarding your life, and your mouth is shut. In the armor of God, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You activate the sword with your mouth. You know, there were times where I struggled with depression. And I do believe depression can be chemical imbalances. But I do think a vast majority of depression is demonic depression, like Elijah experienced. And I would experience this and it would be like so heavy. I won't want to get out of bed. I won't see anyone. In fact, sometimes I would have to lead things, meetings, and I just don't want to be there. And sometimes God would allow people to come and pray for me and I'll see breakthrough. Feel a difference. And a lot of times there'll be no one to pray for me, but God is like, James, now you need to learn how to fight. So I would have to get up and begin to resist, even though everything in me does not want to say. See, that spirit wants to just shut you up. The last thing you want to do when you're under that spirit of depression is pray. Or it's like you just want to lock yourself somewhere, never see anyone again, and just, anyone knows what I'm talking about? So you have to do the very opposite of everything your emotions are trying to, you know, because the enemy is the master of the sensual realm. So he will manipulate senses and try to just get you in a place where your emotions can easily be manipulated. But you have to realize there's power in the Word. And I'll start to declare the Word of God, start to speak over myself. And you know what? Just like that, the oppression leaves because it was demonic. It had a source in the realm of the spirit. And I had to start to confront it. If I don't confront it, I'm not going to deal with it. You have to get good at confronting darkness. And listen, you don't have to be an adult, young people here, to do this. Right here, right, you have to start to resist. Some of you may even be struggling with night terrors and all kinds of oppression when you go to sleep at night. You're afraid of the dark. You got to realize God has called you to be the light. How can you be afraid of darkness? Because the Bible says that we're seated in heavenly places far above principalities and powers, right? So the enemy is under our feet. Anything under your feet has no business dominating your head because it's under your feet. So if you're under some sort of demonic oppression, you got to realize it is out of order. And the only, I mean, there's several reasons, but one of the main reasons why the enemy keeps oppressing believers is because they've given him access points. Sin, whatever it is, unbelief, disobedience. And as long as those access points are not dealt with, the enemy has authority in that situation. In fact, the enemy has no authority apart from that which believers have given to him. That's why repentance is so powerful. That's why it's important that you begin to get your heart right with God, your life right with God, and you begin to pray in a way that that's having the Lord examine your heart and cleanse your heart. Because some people want to resist the enemy and want to go into spiritual warfare and all that kind of stuff, but they have areas of their life that are not properly submitted to God. So it's a very dangerous thing to go into a place where you're trying to resist darkness, and darkness is very comfortable in your heart. In the area of unforgiveness, for example. Or you're struggling with pornography, but you're still dealing with that and you're trying to resist darkness. In terms of, let me say it this way, you're comfortable with the sin, but you're not trying to stand against the enemy. You cannot have authority over the enemy you're sleeping with. Is anyone alive in this room today? You cannot have authority over the enemy that you're sleeping with. If you're going to exercise authority over the enemy, you have to break off that relationship. That is why he says in James, submit yourself to the Lord, and only then can you resist. He didn't say, submit yourself to the Lord and pray to the Lord to come and resist the devil on your behalf. He didn't say that, did he? But many Christians are praying that way. So I've got my keys here. Okay? Imagine I give you my keys and I say, hey, here are my keys. I have the keys to my car. Go ahead and use it. And you get to the car and you call me. You say, James, please help me get in the car. I'm like, I've given you the keys. Open it. James, please, please, I need you. Help me get in the car. You're going to fast. James, please, help me. I've given you the keys. Why are you asking me to do what I've asked you to do? That's how many believers are praying. Lord, please help me get rid of this demon. No, 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 no. Lord, please help me get rid of this dog. No, 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 no. You resist the devil. You have to wait. Say, in the name of Jesus, darkness, get out. Especially when you're standing in a place of obedience, you got to take your ground and resist. Too many Christians are begging God to do something that he's already told them to do. Maybe that's why your prayer is not working. Now, as a baby Christian, God can answer your prayers. Lord, please, I need you to help me get rid of this devil. Boom, God helps you there. But as you're growing in God, he's like, no, 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 no. Stop praying like a baby now. Are you hearing me? You understand? I've given you authority. You resist the darkness. Speak to the cancer. Speak to the sickness. Watch how Jesus healed people. He spoke. Watch how the disciples, you speak to it. It has ears. Okay, Jesus said to the fig tree, cursed it, and said it would not produce fruit anymore. And what happened? The fig tree withered. What does that mean? The fig tree heard him. The fig tree heard his words. Uh-oh, trees have ears. And then Ezekiel has a revelation, and the Lord says to prophesy to the bones. They were dead. As he prophesies, the bones start to rattle. Bones have ears. If bones have ears and trees has ears, guess what? Cancer has ears. Sickness has ears. You better speak to it. The word of God. And don't sit there and just complain and be quiet. Or you say, well, I prayed last week, it didn't work. I prayed the week before, it didn't work. No, no, no. You keep speaking the word. Even if you feel it's not happening. I'd rather go to my grave standing on the word of God than go to my grave in unbelief, doubt, and cynicism. Do you realize many of the prophets went to their grave and did not see the things they prophesied come to pass? So, for their generation, like Isaiah being sawed in two, I believe, some of them went to their grave as false prophets. But they went to their grave in faith. And one of the main things we're dealing with the church right now in the West is a spirit of unbelief. Cynicism is so rife in the culture because of the intellectualism. So it's very easy to just go the other extreme and not believe in spiritual realities. Sometimes you need to travel out of this place and go somewhere where God is moving just to refresh your spirit and see something else that just stirs your faith. Are you hearing me? Because sometimes you have no idea what you're under. A fish in water does not know it's wet. It doesn't know. Because all it knows is, that's all it knows. It only knows it's wet when it jumps out of the water. It's like, oh, I need water, and back in. Because, are you with me? And sometimes you don't realize what you're under until you get out of it. Like, oh my goodness, there's such whatever over here, and your faith is stirred. You come back in, and there's something so important about understanding spiritual realities. And oftentimes you need to learn how to exercise that authority with your mouth. The disciples had to wake up the word. That is one of the primary tools in your arsenal for warfare. The word of God. Proclaiming the word. Speaking the word. Singing the word. We just said it now. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. You're singing the word. You're releasing life from you. And what the enemy wants you to do is keep speaking with your mouth all the things that he's doing. So the enemy is hijacking your mouth to establish his activities. I will not let the enemy conceive a lie in my mind and then birth it with my mouth. Are you hearing me? You don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with words. Because the enemy will try to bring all kinds of thoughts to your mind. You take them captive with declaring the word of God, speaking it over your mind, over your emotions, and taking authority in the name of Jesus. So Jesus gets up, rebukes. This is also another interesting thing. When Jesus wakes up, do you know what he does? He rebukes the wind. He doesn't rebuke the sea. Read it. He rebukes the wind. And then do you know what he does to the sea? Peace be still. He releases peace to the visible, but gets angry at the invisible. Could it be that you're getting angry at the wrong thing? Could it be you're getting angry at your children and maybe there's something else going on you should get angry with? Could it be you're getting angry at your boss and there's something else going on you should get angry with? Are you hearing me today? Because when Peter looked to Jesus and he says to Jesus, rebuking Jesus and wanting to stop him from going to the cross, Jesus turned around and looks at Peter and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That must have been hurtful to hear. Because Jesus was dealing with something else. When Peter spoke, it wasn't so much Peter. The enemy hijacked Peter's compassion for Jesus and used it as an opening to release some words to stop Jesus from going to the cross. But it wasn't Peter speaking. There was a spirit behind the words of Peter. And Jesus discerned it. Now, many of you have had spirits speaking to you through people. And you never discerned it. So you came under what that spirit was releasing and you went home depressed. You went home and your mind was confused. All because some words came, but those words came from another source. That's why when it hits you, you could feel it because it came from the spirit realm. When prophecy hits you like an arrow, it's because God shot it. When words hit you like an arrow and you feel the cut in your heart, it is coming from something. Are you hearing me? So you better deal with the source. Now, I'm not saying you look at the person and you say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But you have to deal with those things spiritually. Some of you are here physically, but it's like all over your back are just arrows in your back. Arrows, shot words from people, this relationship, boom. This over here, boom. And it's just all that stuff just stuck in you, in your soul. And you're just walking around and you're smiling, but you know you're not free. Because of all the stuff from the past, I believe God wants to set you free. Because he came that you be free indeed. Not just in theology, but in reality. Free in deeds, that your actions are manifesting freedom. Jesus gets up, he gets angry at the invisible realm. And there is such a thing as holy anger that we need to capture again in the church. How can the enemy come into your house, take your five-year-old, six-year-old, and start to walk out of your house, and you just sit there watching X Factor and going, oh, bless you, devil. Have a nice day. Yes, you can have my son. Or you just, oh, bless you, devil. Oh, do you want a cup of tea, devil? And he's coming to your house to take your son or your daughter, and you're just sat there being British. I don't believe that's British. I believe the British lion. The real British lion will not sit there while some stranger comes into your territory and take your son out. I was saying this to some white people recently. I said, look, you white people, you better wake up before some foreigners come and take over your nation. I know that might not be politically right, but I don't care. Because God has called you and you have an apostolic anointing and calling on this land to impact the nations of the earth. But because of the guilt of the past, I know there are some bad things that were done, but there are also some great things that happened in the name of the grace of God on this land for the gospel and the apostolic impact it had on the nations. So forget about the guilt of the past, because many people have already forgiven you. I know there's some people that are still holding on to that. Forget about that and realize that there's still a calling on this nation. So wake up and stop trying to please this religion, trying to please this religion, trying to please this other people over here, and you're pleasing all these people, and in the process, you've lost your identity. And they're now taking over. Go to their nations and see if you can do what they're doing here. If you can do that there. My goodness, this got quite political, hasn't it? It's true. They're taking over. Now, I'm not saying we react just by being, mean and horrible. But you got to realize there is a battle going on in the realm of the spirit. And the British lion is quiet, doing the British cup of tea, silent and just chilled and just posh. Oh, we're not going to shout, but it's not the way we do things. And while the enemy is taking over your nation, you better rise up and begin to say some things in the spirit. You better rise up and begin to declare God's purposes over Corby, over the nation. Don't be quiet. Oh, yeah, this is the way we've done church for so many years, so we're just not going to do any. No. Listen, desperate time call for desperate measures. And I'm not sure if some British white Christians are ready for some desperation in prayer right now. Because desperation in prayer in this hour is not sitting down with a cup of tea right now. While the nation is being attacked in the way, there's a level of intensity that the moment requires. And I'm telling you, it's time for the British lion to roar. I can say these things because, one, I'm African. A white person can probably not say what I'm saying right now. But I'm here to wake you up to who God has called you to be. Because there's a reality in the grace of God on this. It's an apostolic nation that's called to impact other nations. Okay, I'm going to get more I'm not trying to be political, but I believe Brexit is of God. Now, you may disagree with me, that's fine. I just know I'm on to God's agenda. And even if it's against my agenda, I get a sense that God is the one that orchestrated Brexit. Because he's trying to get this nation to take back its true leadership. Leadership. How did I get into this? The British lion is to roar. Jesus woke up and he got angry. That's it. It was a holy anger against the spiritual forces that were manipulating the elements to intimidate his disciples. He rebuked the wind. He spoke peace to the sea. And then you know what he did next? He rebuked his disciples. Because he expected them to do something about the storm. Why didn't the disciples rebuke the storm? I round up now. Why didn't the disciples rebuke the storm? Because the storm had got into them. How and why did Jesus rebuke the storm? Because he was coming from a place of sleep, peace. He could only release peace to the sea because he was actually living in the reality of peace. Even though there was a storm around him. Doesn't the Bible say the God of peace will crush the enemy under our feet? So peace is actually a weapon of war. Haven't you realized that sometimes the thing just come and just tries to rob your peace? You know, you have to fight for your peace and that you fight from a place of peace. So Jesus rebukes the disciples because he expected them to do something about the storm. And I believe in the same way, he's expecting the church to do something about the demonic storm that's coming to resist the purpose of God with Hope Church Kirby. And the region of Kirby, the purpose of God in this region, and whatever the demonic thing that's going on, God expects the church to deal with it. Not the church going out to hunt demons everywhere. That's not what I'm saying. As the church is choosing to advance in obedience, there will be resistance. And the church is called to deal with that resistance. Because I know some Christians can take this to the extreme and start trying to go to a witch coven over there and go to some place over there and try to cast down the devil there. No. I believe the authority that God has called you functions within a realm of jurisdiction. It's like the umbrella. If you're under the umbrella, you're safe when it's raining. But once you step out, you're exposed to the rain. So you submit yourself to God, and under his leadership, you're able to resist the darkness. As long as the enemy is getting in the way of what God has called you to do, and you're clear you're in obedience, you're living a life of holiness, you have the right and authority to rebuke the enemy to get out. But many people are often not doing that. They're looking for someone else to do it for them. And God is saying, now is the time for you to rise. I'll round up with this. Some years ago, my wife and I went through a terrible time. Just everything just went crazy. It was like God said to step out and start Prayerstorm as a charity. We stepped out from the job we were in at the time, and we had all these promises from God, but also from people. Everything just seemed to fall apart in a few months. Like, it was just crazy. One thing to the next, to the next, to the next. It was just like, oh, Lord, what's going on here? I don't have time to go into the details, but it was just a really, really, really horrible time. And one thing I learned during that time, as horrible as that season was, I think I learned some things that are so valuable right now that I would go through that again just to come out what I came out with, if that makes any sense. Because there's some things that it's like you have to go through some circumstances to, let me put it this way. To be able to win kingdom battles, you have to first be able to win personal battles. There's some personal battles you're dealing with right now, but they actually enable you to fight more effectively kingdom battles. Because we cannot be an army if you are not a warrior. You want the pastor to do all the fighting? No. You are meant to be an effective warrior. How can we be an army that's advancing in Kobe if you don't know how to use your weapons? It's impossible. So we come together as a church and we want to pray for this region. And sometimes I'm prayer meetings, I'm like, let's pray. And the moment I say let's pray, you can feel the level of spiritual stamina in the room. Because for a few seconds, people are excited. They might pray in tongues and whatever. After maybe a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you know what happens? just quiet. I haven't changed the direction of the prayer. I said, let's pray in this direction. For a few seconds, people pray, and boom, after that, they're dead. The early church, they prayed for Peter to be free from prison. One prayer request. Everyone say one. One prayer request. And they prayed hours. All night. Kept praying. And it wasn't just one person. Collectively, they're praying. How is it that they were able to pray for one thing for so long? That speaks of their spiritual stamina. So now God is wanting us as the church to arise in that place where we can have strength, spiritual stamina, to be able to resist the darkness, to be able to advance. It takes stamina to advance the purpose of God in Kobe. It takes stamina. And so my wife and I were going through this difficult time, and I learned so much in that time, just contending in prayer and pushing, declaring the word of God day in and day out. And it took some time. It wasn't like I started decreeing and declaring the word of God and the next day things changed. I think it was about 3 months. And it was pretty much just about every day. And it seemed like the more we kept pushing in prayer, the worse things got. But I knew we'd broken through when in the space of 1 week, everything just shifted. One thing to the next day was like one day to the next. It was like breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. And I knew it shifted. And I came out of that season, and I felt like, it was like I, for lack of a better word, it was like I graduated in the spirit to another place. I could feel, after that season, when I prayed, it was like I could feel the difference in myself. You know, when you're, it's like if you're trying to push against something that's so heavy, and you've been pushing and pushing and pushing, but you don't manage to make much progress. After doing that for a long time, what you don't realize is even if you haven't pushed that the way you thought you needed to push it, by going through the process of trying consistently, you've built some muscle you didn't have before. So there were some things that seemed quite heavy before you started pushing. And now, boom, you can just easily lift it because you have been through a process. And sometimes it can't be like that in prayer, where God takes you through some things just to stretch your spiritual muscle. And then the pastor comes and says, we're going to pray in this area. And because you have been building that muscle at home, you're an addition to that prayer meeting. You're bringing momentum to that prayer meeting. You're not draining from it. You're adding to it because you're a warrior. And you know how to use your word. You know how to fight. You know how to stand. Okay, I round up with this point. I said I wasn't round up. But these next two things, and then I'm done. Oftentimes, when we think about warfare, we think it's just rebuking the devil with our words. And even though I've emphasized that, that is very important. However, I also believe when you live your life in holiness and you live your life in submission to God, spending time in the secret place, your presence becomes a rebuke to the devil because you carry the light of God everywhere you go. So you could walk into a shop and all of a sudden, someone that is deeply rooted in addiction and occult and darkness starts to react to you. And they start to treat you funny. As opposed to you just thinking something else is going on because they don't like you, could it be that your light is exposing their demons? Sometimes you have some manifestations that happen and you don't realize there are spiritual things going on. You think the person just doesn't like you, but you have no idea there's something else going on. Oh, can I tell you a story? I was in a meeting once. And sorry, I know I said I was going to finish, but you got to hear this. I was in a meeting once, and this guy, it was like lots of wealthy people in this meeting around the table. And my friend invited me to share about what I did. He shared about what he did. And so I had a few minutes, and I just shared briefly. I sat down. One of the guys got up and looked at this guy, my friend, and says, well, thank you for what you shared. I kind of get what you're saying. But then looked at me and says, but you have offended me. How dare you imply I'm not a Christian? And he just exploded in this meeting. And I'm there thinking, oh, Lord, please let this be a dream. Please let this be a dream. Oh, no, Lord, this is not happening. And this is how the meeting ended. So now I'm just there feeling so down about what's just happened. Like, oh, no, I feel so embarrassed. I cannot believe. I looked at my friend. I said, what did I say? He's like, no, you didn't see anything. This guy is so mad. The people around him are trying to calm him down. So I'm just there feeling so down. And I just had a revelation. I felt the Lord say, James, don't be discouraged because what just happened was a clash of kingdoms. When you were speaking without you realizing it, conviction came on him. And he was reacting. And that's what you're saying. I'm doing a work in him. Pray for him. Are you hearing me? There are times where things react around you. You have no idea. Warfare is not just coming against the devil. Spending time in the secret place is part of your warfare. Your intimacy with God. So in that season, I'll wake up and I'll begin to pray. Begin to just declare the word of God over my family. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that your peace rests in this house. I thank you that you've given me authority. You've given me this jurisdiction. Lord, I exercise the authority that you've given me over my home right now. I am declaring depression has no place in this house. Father, whatever arrow has been fired against me from the kingdom of darkness, I am declaring it begins to backfire right now in Jesus' name. Father, I am thanking you for the multiple streams of income that you've ordained for me to walk in. I don't walk under depression and poverty. Father, I thank you that you're my provider. So therefore, I have more than enough. I take authority over the spiritual atmosphere of my home. Lord, we don't have nightmares and terrors at night. We receive dreams and revelation from the throne room of God. Father, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So Father, I thank you that I have the mind of Christ. So therefore, Therefore, revelation comes to me and through me. I thank you right now that as I pray, your fire comes through me to dismantle the works of darkness. Lord, any association of wickedness that has been gathered against your purposes in my life, let them be scattered by fire right now in Jesus' name. Father, I release the judgment of God against every altar of wickedness that's surrounding my home, even surrounding these places, wherever those altars are. Father, I say, let the lightning and the thunder of heaven begin to destroy those altars right now. Every monitoring spirit that's been assigned to my life to try to track my progress, in the name of Jesus, I declare they begin to be blinded in the spirit right now. Father, let the God arise on my behalf and let the enemies be scattered in Jesus' name. I arise in my God-given authority. I take new territories right now. I declare my ministry is effective. I am progressive. I am not moving backwards. I am moving forward. For everywhere the soles of my feet shall tread, you're giving it to me. So Father, I am claiming new territories right now. I thank you. You've called me to intercede for the United Kingdom. Lord, I am arising into a new realm of prayer right now. My prayers take on a new form of effectiveness in the realm of the spirit. My prayers will not be earthbound. They break through the realm of the spirit and begin to penetrate all the works of darkness. Oh, Father, I become a terror to the kingdom of darkness. I arise with fire. I am baptized by fire. Fire comes on me. Fire comes through me. I am a man of breakthrough. Oh, no opposition or resistance will stand in the way of what God wants to do in my life. I break through demonic barriers. I break through ceilings. I break through restrictions. In the name of Jesus, every curse that's been released over me, I overturn right now. I overrule right now in Jesus' name. I am blessed in my going in. I am blessed in my going out. I arise with a God-given authority, and I decree and I declare everywhere I go, I release the life of God. I release the revival of God in the name of Jesus. Oh Father, I thank you for divine connections. The people that you have assigned for my destiny, oh, let them begin to find me supernaturally. Let there be connections in the spirit realm right now. Oh Father, I submit my life to you. I am yours. I am yours. I will not be bound by perversion. I walk in holiness. I walk in purity. I walk in authority in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, just begin to pray right now. Oh, yeah, the devil is a liar. Come on, church. Those of you that can pray in tongues, begin to pray in tongues right now. You're not praying for anyone else. You're praying for yourself. You say, let the warrior within me arise. Yeah. The warrior arise. The warrior arise. Yeah. Hey. Come on. Release your prayer. Release your sound. Listen. We're going to do this again, because I want to give you some instruction. Those of you that can pray in tongues, I want you to Matthew 11, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. I want you to stir yourself up in the spirit to begin to pray in tongues in a focused way and press in. Those of you that don't pray in tongues, if you don't know what to pray, I want you right now to just begin to submit your life to Jesus. James 4, it says, submit yourselves to the Lord. That's what we're going to do right now. We're going to begin to give him our everything. But we're also pressing in. You might want to begin to say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Jesus, I confess this to you. Jesus, I let this go. Jesus, I give this to you. Jesus, I declare you rule in me. Just begin to declare those words. And if you can pray in tongues, I want you to begin to violently begin to push right now. So, band, let's go again. Come on, church. We declare the Lordship of Jesus right now. He reigns and he rules. Hey, Baba Sava Hatalanama Bahatalanaba
Jiva vaso vokotola na mabakata. Ribe baba sabakata la rabahapa. Oya mala na masive ketele de baba sabakata. Shabahata la na mabakata la rabah. Oya basa bakata la na mane malakata. Ribe baba sabahata le de bova. Oya mala mala na mala na mala na mala na mala na mayaba. Hey baba 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 baba. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Oh yeah, balada, balada, balada. Oh, yeah, balada, 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 balada. Yes. Hayalana malana vadeya. Everyone just lift your hands to me. Say, Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves to you afresh. Let's say that again. We submit ourselves to you afresh. My spirit, my soul, my body, my whole life, I submit to you, Lord. I break agreement with darkness, with fear, with unbelief, with perversion, with every work of darkness. In the name of Jesus, I break agreements with darkness. Right now, I arise by divine authority because of the cross. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind, over my emotions, over my body. Let there be a decontamination of every pollution, every contamination in my mind, in my body, in my soulish realm. Let the blood of Jesus begin to cleanse me now. Now, in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to lay hands on yourself. You might want to lay hands on your heart, lay hands on your head, lay hands wherever you feel is appropriate, and begin to just declare the blood of Jesus. Begin to cleanse your system from every filth, from every poison, from every curse, from every deception. Right now, there's going to be a mass cleansing in this room right now. By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. We overcome by the blood. We overcome by the blood. Hey, ba 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 la na mandia. A cleansing. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, right now. All over this room. All over this room. Begin to cleanse. Begin to purify. Begin to untangle every entanglement. I speak of freedom over people's soulish realm. Where there's been demonic soul ties, attachments to negative relationships of the past, even current relationships that are toxic, where there's soul ties that are negative right now, as we're pleading the blood of Jesus, Lord, I say, let there be a cleansing, let there be a breaking of those covenants of darkness by the superior covenant of the cross right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just a few declarations we're going to make together. I believe there are people here that have been struggling with oppression, depression, paralysis in the night times, in terms of just being afraid. And right now, we're going to take authority over every spirit of perversion, every spirit of fear and intimidation, every night terror, even every witchcraft manipulation going on, any python spirit in this place that's strangling the life of the people of God, just lift your hands with me right now. Father, repeat and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over every activity of darkness in all its manifestations, be it perversion, be it fear, be any kind of manipulation, every spirit of divination working around us, working in our families, working in our lives, right now in the name of Jesus, we take divine authority. We terminate the assignment of darkness. We release divine judgments against the works of the enemy. We call on the fire of heaven to begin to scatter the works of darkness. Let's say that one right. Say, we call on the fire of heaven to begin to destroy the works of darkness in all its manifestations. Now, at the count of three, we're all going to cry out fire. And listen, we're calling out to the God who answers by fire. I had a dream once. And in the dream, I was in the hotel room. And in that very hotel room, a spirit of perversion came at me in the dream. And I took authority over this spirit. And I commanded, in fact, I said, I take authority over you. And that spirit began to shake. And it started to run. And as that spirit was running in the dream, I ran after it. And I said, and I released the fire of God against you. You know, when I said that in the dream, out of my chest comes a fireball and hits this spirit, and it just disintegrates before my eyes. And I woke up. I knew I wasn't just having a dream. I was in an experience in the realm of the spirit. And listen, the fire of God is going to fall. I'm saying that because I want you to stir up your faith. Because as and band, I want you to play loudly when we shout fire. And there's a reason for that. Because I want everyone to forget about themselves. In other words, I don't want you to be self-conscious. We're all going to shout fire. And as we shout fire, we're not just going to shout it once. You might want to keep shouting it. However, if you can pray in tongues, I want you to begin to roar in the spirit. Because I see like a python spirit around someone's neck. And as we begin to shout fire, you remember when Paul was on that island and he put the fire on? And as he put the fire on, the snake that was in the fire, anyone knows that story? Starts to come out. But the fire revealed the snake. He was already there, but when the fire came, the snake starts to be uncomfortable. We're going to call on the fire of God to expose any snake-like activity, any deception, any perversion, any oppression. The fire of God is going to come right now, and it's going to begin to bring the order of God. Are you ready for this? Oh, Phoebe, I said, are you ready for this? Lift your hands with me. On the count of three, we're going to cry a fire. The God of Elijah, He is the one that answers us by fire. The Holy Spirit fire is what we're after, because it brings a cleansing and a deliverance. So God of Elijah, we call on you to answer us by fire. One, two, three, come on. Fire! Fire! Fire, 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 fire
discipline, man. Depression, you leave. Pornography addiction, you leave. Yeah. Terrors in the night, fear and sleep paralysis, you leave now in Jesus' name. You python spirit, I command you to loose your hold on the people of God in this room right now. You leave now in Jesus' name. No more, no more, no more. Yeah. I reverse the curse. And I release freedom. And I release the blessing. Over this church, I release the blessing. Yeah. We declare that this will be a house of prayer. We will be a house of prayer. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Let's give the Lord a round of applause. We love you, Lord. My voice is gone, so just want to say thank you to Jesus and for everything he's done here today in answer to our prayers, and that he has shown up, manifested his glory, taken us closer, broken things in our lives. And we want to honor you, James, and thank God for you and for your life. And we believe you are a gift to the whole body of Christ. And we just want to bless your life. May God just continue to open doors for you. And may God use you to push back the kingdom of darkness and to awaken the church in this nation and other nations. May God put people around you, key significant people who can support you as this ministry expands. And may he grow you into those realms of glory that you are describing for the benefit of the whole body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you, everyone, for coming today. Hope you've been encouraged, blessed, built up. For those of you who don't have a church, you're very welcome to come here tomorrow. We meet at 10:30 in this building. For those of you who are visiting from other churches, we are so pleased to have spent the day with you. God bless you, and please take our greetings back to your church. The meeting is now over, but please stay behind and just greet one another. The store with all of the merchandise is still open, I believe, in the other room. So if you'd like to buy anything on the way out, please feel free to do that. The worship team, as usual, will continue to play for a little while. So if you don't have to rush off and you still want to worship, that's absolutely fine. God bless you.